Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. House of Debt is a 2014 economics book by Atif Mian and Amir Sufi that offers a major reinterpretation of the Great Recession. Rather than treating the crisis mainly as a banking collapse, the book argues that the decisive force was the buildup of household debt, especially mortgage debt, followed by a sharp fall in spending when home values dropped. Written for a broad audience, it translates empirical macroeconomics into a clear account of how balance sheets, leverage, and consumption interact during downturns. The book combines research findings with policy argument, asking not only what caused the recession, but also why the recovery was so weak and what governments should do differently in future crises. Its focus is both analytical and practical. It examines how debt changes the behavior of households, why those effects spread through the wider economy, and why standard responses that protect creditors may fail to restore demand. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, household debt as the central driver of recession severity. The book's core claim is that the Great Recession cannot be understood simply as a banking failure or a vague collapse in confidence. Mian and Sufi argue that the buildup of household debt made the economy unusually fragile before the downturn, so when housing prices fell, the damage was not confined to homeowners. Heavily indebted families lost net worth quickly and responded by cutting consumption, which reduced demand across the economy. This matters because spending by households is a major support for employment and business revenue. In the author's framework, debt is not just a financing tool, but a force that determines how much pain is transmitted from falling asset prices into the real economy. The book emphasizes that high leverage transforms an ordinary slowdown into a severe contraction by making millions of households react in the same direction at once. That shared retrenchment is what turns private balance sheet stress into a broad macroeconomic crisis. Secondly, why debt behaves like anti-insurance during downturns. A distinctive idea in the book is that debt functions as anti-insurance. Insurance spreads losses across many people, reducing the burden on any single household. Debt does the opposite. It fixes repayment obligations in ways that leave borrowers exposed when conditions worsen. If house prices rise, borrowers can look wealthier and spend more, but if prices fall, they bear the loss directly while lenders remain far better protected. The book uses this asymmetry to explain why leverage is dangerous in a housing collapse. Homeowners with thin equity are especially vulnerable because even moderate price declines can wipe out their financial cushion. Once that cushion disappears, borrowing constraints tighten, fear rises, and spending drops. The system shields creditors, but it concentrates risk on the households least able to absorb it, worsening inequality at the same time that it deepens recession. Thirdly, levered losses and the macroeconomic ripple effect. The levered losses framework is the book's main analytical model for explaining how household debt magnifies shocks. The idea is that when households are highly leveraged, a fall in asset values does not simply reduce wealth in a neutral way. It creates forced adjustments in spending, default risk, foreclosures, and unemployment that feed into one another. A household with little debt can often ride out a temporary decline, but a highly indebted household has to protect itself quickly by cutting expenses. When many households do this simultaneously, businesses lose sales, hiring slows, and layoffs spread beyond the original area of distress. The authors use this logic to show why the recession affected workers and regions that were not directly tied to the housing bubble. In other words, the housing crash mattered not just because housing declined, but because the debt structure converted that decline into a broad collapse in demand. The framework shifts attention from the financial sector alone to the interaction between balance sheets and aggregate economic activity. Fourthly, debt, inequality, and the problem of weak aggregate demand. House of Debt also connects household indebtedness to broader issues of inequality and aggregate demand. The book argues that debt burdens are not just a private problem for borrowers. They influence the entire economy by depressing overall spending. When large parts of the population must devote more income to servicing debt, they have less room to consume, which reduces demand for goods and services. This helps explain why economies can recover slowly even after the acute financial panic ends. The book's logic is closely related to the author's later work on indebted demand, where inequality and borrowing patterns push down the natural interest rate and make demand chronically weak. In this view, rising debt among ordinary households can offset spending power that otherwise would have supported growth. The result is an economy that depends more on credit expansion and less on healthy income growth. That makes recessions more severe and also makes the long-term structure of demand more fragile. The book therefore treats debt as a macroeconomic symptom and a distributional problem at the same time. Lastly, policy response debt relief versus bank rescue. The book's policy argument is that crisis management should focus more on households and less exclusively on financial institutions. Mian and Sufi contend that during the Great Recession, protecting banks was not enough if the underlying problem was collapsing household demand driven by debt overhang. They argue for mortgage write-downs and other forms of debt relief because reducing household liabilities can restore spending power more directly than subsidizing lenders. This position is controversial because it challenges the common instinct to stabilize the banking system first and let households recover slowly. The book also points to the need for better lending standards and reforms that limit future debt buildups, since preventing another crisis requires addressing the structure that made the economy vulnerable in the first place. Its policy value lies in showing that macroeconomic recovery depends on balance sheet repair, not only on liquidity or bank capitalization. That makes the book especially important for readers interested in how crisis policy can be redesigned around households rather than institutions. In conclusion, House of Debt is best suited for readers who want a serious explanation of the Great Recession that goes beyond the familiar story of reckless banks and frozen credit markets, economists, policymakers, finance students, and informed general readers will all benefit from its central insight. Household leverage can be the hidden mechanism that turns a housing downturn into a broad macroeconomic collapse. The book is especially useful for readers interested in monetary policy, inequality, and the limits of standard crisis responses, because it ties those topics together through one coherent framework. What makes it stand out is the combination of empirical evidence, accessible argument, and a clear policy conclusion. Rather than merely diagnosing a crisis, it asks what governments should do when households are burdened by debt and demand is collapsing. Compared with many books on the financial crisis, it is less focused on Wall Street drama and more focused on the balance sheets of ordinary households. If you would like to support Atif Mian, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.